Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2013. We are live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program usually within an hour of its conclusion to three different websites: my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. And we have links to the show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, gvnews.com, and the homepage of Blog for Arizona, blogforarizona.com. And congratulations to Blog for Arizona, today named by the Washington Post as Arizona's top political blog in Arizona. We launch this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show with a newsmaker interview with Dr. Mark Stegeman, former president of the TUSD governing board and now current board member. 30 minutes past the hour, a preview of the 58th annual Science Fair at the Tucson Convention Center next week. And we'll close out the show with attorney Don Luce, Mr. Luce, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Mark Stegeman, the former TUSD board president and now current member, you can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Now let's go to the live line and Dr. Stegeman, who is joining us from the University of Arizona campus, where, of course, Dr. Stegeman, his day job is a professor teaching economics at the university. How are you today, Mark?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
What about this deal with full-day kindergarten? TUSD now guaranteeing free full-day kindergarten to all of the students, despite being faced with that big overall budget deficit for the district of $17 million. My question to you is, Mark, can TUSD afford the full-day kindergarten at this point?
Oh, I think absolutely. I don't think we ever contemplated cutting that back. That's important for getting kids ready for first grade, and it's important for keeping parents in the district because many families want that. And not every local district is doing that, I believe.
Well, currently the state funds only half of the half-day kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
To cover the second half of the day, it will cost TUSD $5.3 million. So, again, this is an investment, I guess, that you and the board members feel that the district must make.
Well, this isn't different. This is what we did last year, so it's really just protecting what we've been doing, and I think this is one of the best expenditures we can make, both in terms of recruitment and getting kids ready for first grade. This is where we're going to close the achievement gap, is by taking the kids who come in with all different levels of preparation and getting them onto a level playing field by the time they get to first, second, and third grade.
Well,
not all the districts have it, for example. So I think Catalina Foothills doesn't offer free all-day K. I think Tanca Verde does not offer free all-day K. So this is maybe a competitive advantage for us.
Well, let's talk about where the cuts are at this point. 11 schools cutting teachers, librarians, counselors, and central administration. So what savings will all of that carve out of that $17 million budget deficit?
Well, I've always said that the $17 million is a little bit too precise. I don't think we know exactly how much we need to cover, but it's not a bad number to work with. And those savings that you mentioned add up to something like $12 million, I think. The schools is a little over $4 million. The central administration cuts were a little over $6 million. And then the formula cuts were about 2.5. So actually it's more like $13 to $14 million that we've cut so far.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. If you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a question or comment for Mark, 790-2040, 790-2040. Do you miss being the president of the board, Mark?
Oh, no, I always said when I was a president, when I was not the president, it's not that important. It, the president has the same number of votes as everybody else, and it mainly is an administrative responsibility. So it doesn't make a whole lot of difference who does it, I think, and I'm happy to do it or happy not to do it.
How's the composition of the board?
Well, it's definitely a more liberal board. I mean, if the term liberal and conservative have any precise meaning, and I don't think they do, but as people broadly understand the term, this is a board that was majority support for the Mexican-American Studies program. The two new members were very vocal about that, and is definitely more pro-labor than the previous board. So I think the board is fine. It's a little too early to judge, but I think it's clearly a more liberal board.
What about this recommendation to hire an internal auditor? Was this the audit committee's recommendation?
Right. This is something the audit committee has been recommending ever since it started, and I was one of the original members before I got on the board, and we were recommending that the district have an internal auditor. Under Dr. Fagan, the district hired a management consultant who recommended that the district get an internal auditor. And I think the audit committee is going to send a formal letter to the board suggesting that, and I hope the board acts on it this year. I think it'll save us much more in the end than it costs us to have someone going through all of our processes objectively and looking at our property controls, which are weak, and improving our financial controls.
The Auditor General has released a report concerning classroom spending. How does TUSD fit into that picture?
TUSD doesn't do well on that measure. We're between 50 and 51%, and most of the other large districts are up over 54 to 58%. But the good news is that we didn't go down. We actually went up fractionally from 50.4 to 50.6% spent in the classroom while the rest of the state was trending down. So that's some kind of good news. But I think we need to do much better. I had a proposal last year to put some mandatory minimums on how much we spend in the classroom rising over time, and I think I'd still like to bring that forward.
Are you losing enrollment?
We're losing enrollment last year much more slowly. So we lost more than 1,000 students a year for, gosh, 5-6 years at least. And last year, it seems that this year we've lost only several hundred. I don't know the exact number. But it definitely seems to have flattened out. Staff's projecting it to enrollment decline to end. And, of course, I said all along I'd like us to build enrollment. I think if we make improvements in our schools, we can bring back some of the people who have left. About 30% of the kids in our boundaries don't go to our schools, and I think we can get that number down if we do our job properly.
Had a caller who did not want to go on the air. The caller wondered, why does TUSD, Dr. Stegeman, seem to be so out of sync with the rest of the community and the budget woes when you have other districts like Vail and Amphi who seem to be thriving? What is it about TUSD that seems to, why this district seems to struggle so much?
I think we've had some financial management issues, frankly. I think we had financial management issues before the Fagan administration, and there was an annual spring budget crisis. People who can remember back that far. I think under the Fagan administration, the very brief Fagan administration, that stopped. And I think now we're getting back to a place where it seems like we're not planning quite as well. I think that's one of the reasons we need the internal auditor. I think that's one of the reasons the audit committee is pressing for that strongly. So I think financial management has slipped a little bit, but I think we can get that back on track, I hope.
The bad publicity just seems to have overwhelmed the district, though. Do you think the perception is that kids can't get a good education in a TUSD school?
Well, I think some people have that perception. Obviously, lots of people do still send their kids to our schools, and there's tremendous variation in our schools. We have some truly outstanding schools, and we have quite a few mediocre schools, and then we have some schools that are worse than mediocre. What we need to do is be more consistent, and part of that has to do with getting good site leadership into every school. One of the most important things central administration can do is get good principals into every school. That's what drives the district more than any other single thing. And we're getting a little bit better, but we need to get a lot better at that.
One of your schools, Dodge Elementary, is an A-rated school. Is that elementary school in danger of closing?
No, but that school always has excess demand. It could take hundreds more students than it has room for. It's a middle school, actually, but it's in an elementary site, so it's our smallest middle school. And there's been discussion for years of moving it into a larger site, and Townsend is only a quarter mile away. Now that we're closing Townsend, we voted to close Townsend, I would like to see that option come back on the table. I know the Dodge community would like to see that option come back on the table. We could bring in enrollment from outside the district and offer kids a better option if we could let Dodge grow. It's our only A-rated middle school, and we don't even have any B-rated middle schools. Every other one we've got is C or D. So Dodge is a very important asset for us.
All right, coming up on 12:15 with Dr. Mark Stegeman. When we continue with Dr. Stegeman, is it a good idea to arm teachers and principals in the TUSD district? We'll ask him that as we continue. And if you would like to ask him a question or comment about education in TUSD, now is your opportunity, 790-2040. We'll be right back on this, the Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This literary extravaganza is unlike any other. It is 10 acres of books, authors, exhibitors, food, fun, and entertainment, and it's all free. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus March 9th through the 10th.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up at 1 o'clock, live from KVOI, our studio is right here, Michael Medved. His show will be broadcast from our KVOI studios. That's coming up at a little after 1 this afternoon. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Silver City has a rich Western history. It's a great place to visit. Galleries, museums, including the finest collection of Mimbrace pottery in the world at Western New Mexico University. And there are great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila guest houses, and Lake Roberts Motel. You can find out more about Silver City, and we urge you to check out their really nice website, very thorough, southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, TUSD, former TUSD board president, now just current. Not just current member of the board, an important member of the TUSD board. Dr. Stegeman, the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday said that the districts in the area have been moving slowly on security. How would you characterize the security at the TUSD district?
I think what we're doing is fairly typical of what most districts are doing. There's no way to provide complete security in a school or anywhere else, but I think we're putting up fencing in a few places where we didn't have adequate control, and we're trying to improve our control of who can come in and out of buildings. Historically, however, most school shootings are done. There's been 50-some school shootings, significant school shootings over the last 100 years, and most of them are done by either insiders, staff members, parents, someone with a connection to the school who might get access anyway. Most of them are not done by random people coming onto the campus. So even if you step up that kind of control, things will happen.
Would you be in favor of arming certain teachers or principals at the schools?
All the gun issues tend to become too ideological, or have become too ideological, which is too bad because they're complicated issues that really need a more balanced analysis. So that's a security question. It's a complicated question. I think our security folks, who are the experts, think that probably wouldn't help in most situations and would leave a lot of staff members uncomfortable. So I think we're probably not going to go that route. I'm not saying that necessarily it's a horrible idea or a misconceived idea, and it might sometimes help, but I think the feeling among the experts is that it's not going to help most of the time. And in some cases, it could contribute to a situation getting more out of control. Partly the problem is that dealing with a shooter situation requires a tremendous amount of training to do it properly. It's not just knowing how to use a gun, but it's dealing with a complex and dangerous and rapidly changing situation. And giving our staff members that kind of training, even if they wanted it, I think might be too expensive and too challenging for a school district. So I doubt we're going to do that.
What's the next step now that after this federal judge last month ordering TUSD to begin offering culturally relevant courses in the next school year? Presumably, I guess that would be beginning next August. Where does that stand right now?
Well, that's a very short deadline for us. And we have had a group in the staff working on that kind of curriculum, partly against the expectation to judge by order that. And I think they've still got some ways to go. I think maybe they're a little behind schedule with that. I don't think it'll look like the former Mexican-American Studies program because the judge seemed to make it clear that he expected the program to follow state law. And so that will put some bounds on what we do. And the board is just waiting to see what staff comes up with. But there's no question we have to comply. The court ordered it, and so we definitely need to do it. I think it'll be expensive, and I'm not sure it's the best use of resources, but there's no question that we will comply.
How many teachers are you going to have to lay off with these budget cuts?
Well, I'm not sure. Now, what we did with the class sizes was increase them by one for 4th through 12th grade. So that's a modest increase, but it may lead to some teacher layoffs. And we have had a slight decline in enrollment, not a very big one, and that could lead to layoffs too. But I think we're talking about, I haven't seen an exact number, but I think we're talking like dozens as opposed to, say, hundreds. And some teachers will lose their jobs in the school closure process because they won't all be placed in new schools. But I think the most important variables are the class size and the total enrollment. And the changes there are not huge changes.
Dr. Mark Stegeman with us on the Buckmaster Show. How about Arizona kids could get 20 more class days? Are you in favor of extending the academic year in TUSD?
I've always said it's something we should look at. And the thing I would like to be able to do is increase instructional time by extending the school day instead of adding days. That's much more economical if you don't have to open the building up for 20 more days. We had a piece of legislation Ethan Orr sponsored a piece of legislation to allow us to do that. I don't think it's going to get anywhere this session. That's sort of what I've heard. We may try again next session. But I think if we could do it that way, I would definitely be in favor of it. If we have to do it by adding days, it still might be a good idea, but it's a little bit more complicated than it's something the board would have to look at. I think look at in the context of how we think about the whole calendar. The Vail district in Pima County has gone to a very different kind of calendar, a year-round calendar. And I think to look at adding 20 days in isolation wouldn't make sense. I think you'd want to look at it as part of, are we going to change the whole way we do our calendar?
It might be kind of difficult to keep the kids focused, though, when they're thinking about summer vacation, right?
Well, that's right, but a lot of research says that over the summer vacation, kids lose a lot of learning. And after a three-month break or whatever it is, there's a lot of catching up to do. And if the school is a little bit more year-round, where you have shorter and more frequent breaks, then the kids don't slip as much. So there are trade-offs there. There are advantages both ways. And I think at some point we need to have a serious discussion about that. TUSD's never really come to grips with that issue, and I think we need to. We're operating with a school calendar that was designed decades ago in a different world, and that doesn't imply we should change it, but I think it implies that we need to seriously think about it.
Yeah, it was designed for kids who helped out the parents in the agricultural area, right?
That was a big part of it, yes.
Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much. What's the next thing that's coming up for this budget now? What's your next meeting to talk about the budget?
Well, we talk about the budget. We have a meeting on Tuesday. We talk about the budget almost every meeting. I think other savings may come through changes in our policies with substitutes. I think we're looking for savings in utilities, giving schools incentives to save money. We might make some deeper administrative cuts. We might ask employees to contribute more to their medical benefits. I think those are all things that we're looking at to add to the savings that have already been adopted.
Okay, Dr. Stegman, thanks for spending a half hour with us. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to take a break here and hear from the fine sponsors who support the Buckmaster Show and make this hour possible. We will be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The White House says the U.S. is fully capable of defending itself after North Korea threatened a nuclear strike earlier today. Pyongyang made the threat ahead of a unanimous vote by the U.N. Security Council to impose new sanctions on the communist regime over its recent nuclear testing. The Obama administration is clarifying its policy on the use of military drones amid claims that it could use them to target American citizens suspected of terrorism. A government watchdog says the Veterans Administration has been sending sensitive data, including electronic health records, over unencrypted networks, making them vulnerable to theft or possible misuse. Wall Street, the Dow's up about 29 points, the NASDAQ ahead 4. More details at srnnews.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:36 on this Thursday afternoon, 790-2040. We're going to be talking in the next segment about science and engineering and perhaps why our kids are not as motivated in this country to go in that direction as other places. The Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair has turned out to be one of the largest and most successful fairs of its kind in the United States, presenting over 1,600 projects being judged this year, representing 6,000 students from Southern Arizona. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Andrea Owen, Vice Chair of the nonprofit Science and Tech 12, which stands for Science, Engineering, and Technology for Kindergarten through 12th Grade. Andrea, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you, Bill.
The science and engineering emphasis in this country has been lacking for years, Andrea. It's not that our kids can't do the work. It's just they're not being steered in the right direction early on. Is that correct?
That is correct. And for some reason, when they're younger, if they're not geared towards math, they tend to avoid those types of subjects. And one of the things my son does when he goes out and talks to the kids, if one of the first questions he asks them, he's going to be graduating from the U of A in May in electrical engineering, exceptional in math and science. But he says to them, how many of you like math? Well, of course, he gets a lot of kids who don't raise their hands.
Yeah.
And he says, look, I don't like math either. It can be very tedious. I'm not a theoretical math person, but when I can see how applicable it is to life and designing and making things and building, I love math. And he said, I want you to have an appreciation for math, and I'm going to show you how exciting math can be. And he gets these kids fired up. He really does. Junior high school kids, just really instills, opens their eyes to their possibilities. And when people say engineering, they go, oh, that's tough. Well, it is. Some fields in engineering are incredibly tough, but there's so many areas of engineering now, biomedical, biomechanical, civil, that kids can get into, artificial intelligence, computer, and they might find their niche in those areas, and there's just a range of opportunities open to them.
This year's fair is at the Tucson Convention Center, the Exhibit Hall, March 11th through the 16th. That's pretty much the fair takes up all next week.
Yes, right? All next week. Starts with a bang on Monday when the kids come in, start setting up their projects. They get judged all day on Tuesday. It's a pretty exhausting event for particularly the high schoolers. Wednesday night is our big signature event, Future Innovators Night, open to the public from 5:30 to 8. Invite everybody to come down. We're going to have scavenger hunts, door prizes, and we've got about 30 companies signed up to come down, set up interactive science displays, hands-on displays for the public, all ages. It's a great family event, and it's free to the public, including parking. Care of Cox Communications, they're one of our big supporters. And then Thursday and Friday are open all day to the public to come and look at the projects. Thursday and Friday night are going to be the awards ceremonies, and Saturday morning they can come down too, although that can be a little iffy because the kids are starting to take their projects down. But on Wednesday night, some of those high schools will be down there, and you'll be able to talk to them personally.
Where do these projects, these kids work on these projects all year, I guess?
Yeah, some of them do. Now the little kids might not work on them all year, mm-hmm. but some of these high schoolers are working on them for months and months, and some of them have 2, 3, 4 years invested as part one, part two, part three, and part four. So they put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, sometimes a lot of money and research and all different areas of science. And they're just, it's phenomenal to see.
It's impressive. 6,000 students competing over 1,600 projects.
Yeah, actually we have, as of 2 days ago, we have almost 1,800 projects signed up this year.
That's amazing.
About 6,600 kids will be down there. And it is, we couldn't do it without our volunteers. It takes about 300 judges, and they all volunteer their time. And we have other volunteers that work the hub, and they start setting up and putting little numbers on them. And it's a huge event.
It's a big deal, and kids
yes.
come from all over southern Arizona, from Yuma yeah. all the way to the New Mexico border, south, and all the way up almost to Phoenix. So, I mean, it's truly a southern Arizona event. What's
yes,
at stake
is.
For the kids other than, well, the prestige of winning among their peers? That's kind of cool. They love mm-hmm. to, you know, they get awards, though, and
yes.
there's some cash awards. Right.
Yes, and last year we gave out about 650 awards, cash, trips, certificates, medallions, and that amounts to about $200,000 in scholarship money, trips. The top winners, we take about 12 students, a couple junior high students, a couple projects, and then the rest senior high they'll go, or high school, they will be selected to go on to international competition, the most prestigious one being Intel's International Science and Engineering Fair, which is actually going to be held in Phoenix this year.
Wow.
Yeah, in the beginning of May.
And what's our success rate with sending some of these students to the international level?
Well, last year it was phenomenal. It was 85% of our students brought home awards,
wow.
cash awards. We had three students place in the top four. We had one student place first. He did a project on the origin of the universe. We had a lot of microbiology and solar alternative energy projects going. And the nationwide, the percentage is about 15%. Ours usually runs about 65%. So we are well above what the national average is, and last year was just phenomenal
kids. This is great for the community. We try to bill ourselves as kind of on the cutting edge with bioscience and
yes.
technology. We're trying to move in that direction,
yeah.
and it's certainly wonderful to have the young people involved and really doing very well. Attendance keeps growing. 58 years, and your organization, Science and Tech, K through 12, is doing very well too, isn't it?
Yes, we are. During the year, we were founded. The event has been going on 58 years, but ScienceTech 12 was founded as a nonprofit organization in 1999 with the sole purpose of promoting science, technology, engineering, and math education, the STEM education in Southern Arizona. And although StarFestF is our signature event, throughout the year we are going to high schools and junior high and elementary school around the Southern Arizona area to talk to the public and talk to the teachers and the students about getting excited about being in a science fair And experiencing that and learning about the world and creativity and communication, science communication. And that's what we do all year round. And we have a team of volunteers that do that.
Congratulations, Andrea Owen. Sounds like another great event. 58th Annual Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, put on by Science and Tech K-12 Foundation, March 11th through the 16th. Tucson Convention Center Exhibit Hall. And remember, the big public event will be Wednesday night, 5:30 to 8 p.m., the annual Future Innovators Night. It's a big open house. Everyone is invited at the TCC. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Bill, for supporting us.
All right, coming up now at 12:45, Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, will be up next. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bruce. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus, March 9th through the 10th.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 10 minutes to 1 on this Thursday afternoon. And I'm joined in studio by attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Associates. Mr. Luce and his colleagues have offices here in Tucson and in Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and this has now had its second edition, an expanded edition in Arizona. I would expect no less with all of our laws, Don Luce. And your other book that's full of wonderful information about estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you. Great to be back.
It's always good to talk with you, and one of the things we talk, it seems like month in and month out, are some of these initiatives that have been on the ballot, of course, legalizing the medical marijuana. But now lawmakers are moving that would create some new hurdles to get the initiative on the ballot.
Right, Bill. The initiative process isn't unique to Arizona, but Arizona has used it very regularly since becoming a state all the way back to 1912. The legislature is free to suggest various proposals every 2 years for the general election, and the citizens are free to suggest proposals as well. Now, a citizen initiative requires signatures. If the initiative goes to changing a statute, it requires 10% of the voters by way of initiative signatures. That's about 170,000.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes to changing a constitutional provision, in other words, a constitutional amendment, it requires 15%, which is roughly a quarter of a million. Well, the legislature doesn't want to change the numbers of signatures required, but it wants to change where those signatures have to come from, and that's really
okay. So they're going to be county specific.
Mm-hmm. Right now, there is no requirement as to which county those signatures have to be gathered from, and in most cases, the sponsors of the initiative choose Maricopa or Pima because of the population centers that those counties offer.
Let's face it, it's just from a practical point of view, it's a lot easier to gather signatures in
right.
the Phoenix and Tucson area.
Right. Under this Senate concurrent resolution, which we've been talking about, it's SCR 1019, at least 25% of the names needed to qualify would have to come from a county other than Maricopa or Pima.
That could be very problematic.
Well, I don't know when the last time you were up in Apache County was.
Or La Paz County.
But a lot of our counties have very few population centers, and to obtain something in the neighborhood of 50,000 signatures from a not very well-populated county would be difficult, to say the least.
So this is right now in the Senate. And moving forward, I guess.
Yes, it passed the Senate, I believe, on Wednesday, and it's now moved to the House. The proposal would require that 25% of the names come from other than Maricopa and Pima counties, and it also would move the cutoff up so that it wasn't as close to the election as it is now. And the proponents of this say that's necessary because we've had so many court challenges in recent years to the various initiatives. And if you think back to the last election, you can recall one initiative which was challenged in court. And the various recorders around the state were saying, you know, we need some time to print the ballots, so yeah. We need the court decision now. And under this this proposal, the petitions would have to be turned in a bit earlier. So if there were court challenges, those would be fully resolved and allow time for printing of the ballots.
Well, we'll see how that goes, and perhaps these new hurdles for initiative petitions will be put into place. Arizona's SB 1070, the repercussions, legal repercussions continue. An appeals court made a ruling this week on day labor provision in SB 1070.
Indeed. This was one of the provisions that the U.S. Supreme Court did not address directly. Now, what the Supreme Court did do was it struck down some of the provisions and it upheld one of the provisions. This day labor provision makes it a crime for a motorist to pick up a day laborer or to even stop in traffic to discuss with a person the possibility of day labor employment. The Ninth Circuit, which is our federal court of appeals, said that this provision of SB 1070 is illegal because it targets a specific group of people, and it imposes a penalty that is far out of line with punishments for other similar traffic violations. I'll give you an example. Right now on the books, and it's been on the books since 2010, if a person is impeding traffic, that motorist can be jailed for up to 30 days if it's done in a reckless manner. A day laborer who merely impedes traffic can end up in jail for 6 months. So, you know, the judges, when they really studied this provision, said, no, the state does not have a legitimate interest in ensuring that traffic isn't blocked that is more important than a worker's right to engage in labor solicitation speech. It really came down on a First Amendment basis. The Court of Appeals said, under the First Amendment, labor solicitation speech is a protected form of speech, and the state's interest isn't more important than that. So, therefore, the statute is unconstitutional.
And we can only guess whether this one, Don Luce, will be going to the Supreme Court. The governor has not made that decision, but it would not surprise me if it might.
No, in fact, the sponsor of 1070, John Kavanaugh, said that he hopes it goes to the Supreme Court. So, who knows?
Driver's license. This issue has been in the news recently, the challenge seeking a U.S. ruling that would block the governor's directive concerning driver's license for what are called deferred action migrants.
Right. Now, your listeners will probably remember that last year, President Obama, through executive order, directed the Department of Homeland Security to suspend deporting a certain class of illegal immigrants. And essentially, these were the young illegal immigrants, you know, under 30, who had entered the country as children, had graduated high school, and had no criminal record. Mm-hmm. And then it was later expanded to young people who may not have graduated but were going to go back to school. This is about a million and a half people that we're talking about. A large group of the illegal immigrant population comes under this deferred action program. Okay, so now take it to our state. Governor Brewer and the Department of Transportation said, well, that's fine, but we are not going to issue driver's licenses to those people. They said that, you know, central to this debate has to be our own state law, which has been around since 1996, that says those seeking state licenses must show that their presence is authorized under federal law. And what she's saying is the deferred action program doesn't say that you're here legally. It just says we're not going to deport you now. So you may be here illegally, but you can stay for a while.
Don Luce joining us his monthly visit. Don is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, second edition. And how many? Well, you really updated this thing because why not? Look at all the new laws in Arizona.
A lot of fun, Bill. A lot of fun, always.
And estate planning in Arizona. Don Luce, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are offered the best drinking water, we think, Culligan water, and they offer the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Folks, what is it about Culligan water? Well, it simply tastes better. Coming up right here from the KVOI studios, at 1:04 this afternoon. It's the Michael Medved Show, broadcasting live from Tucson and our KVOI studios. Also coming up this afternoon at 3 to 5, it's John C. Scott, John the Dean of Local Talk, and the 2013 Golden Mike Award winner. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking with the mayor of Sahorita, that's Dwayne Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg, no relation to the mayor of New York City. Mayor Bloomberg will be with us for the Friday Focus interview, along with Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.